The title is called A Life Wasted. We know America is a great country and probably the greatest country on earth. There are two reasons for this country to be so great. I can think of two reasons. Number one reason is foundation, because this country was founded on biblical values and beliefs. The second reason is because of American people. American people are a special group of people. They are people of faith in general. They are compassionate, courageous, creative, optimistic, and they are generous. If you look at humankind history, the history of humankind, there's no country existed has so much impact on civilization, on humanity than US. But it's unfortunate these things are all changing, and it's changing for the worse. This nation and its people are slowly turning away from God. And the society as a whole is actually decaying into low morality, greed, materialism, consumption. There's no doubt this country is still the most affluent country on the planet. We are blessed with rich resources. But in the meantime, because we don't have God, Christ, in our daily lives, we become a very wasteful society. If we look around, how much electricity we waste, how much gasoline we waste, how much food we waste, how much money we waste, how much time we waste, how much waste we waste, the list can go on and on. Overall, you know, we are wasting our life. It's such a waste. And it's like a disease. It's happened to this healthy young man, and it's spreading. It's like a cancerous cell growing in us. And it's infecting our next generation. And it's probably influencing other countries and other cultures as well. So I would really like to share with you two stories today. One is in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. This is a parable told by Jesus about a rich man. We could imagine he must have a big plot of land. It just happened one year, the land produced a lot of crops for him. So he got very rich. Then he tries to figure out what he's going to do with all this material. He has so much wealth now. So he thought to himself, maybe I should tear down, maybe I should do a remodeling. Maybe I should tear down all the old barns I have and build a nicer, bigger one so I can store up all the produce. So he went ahead and did that. So after the completion of this project, he sat back and relaxed. He felt very good about himself. He said, well, I have worked hard in my life, like everybody else here. What should I do now? Maybe I should just relax and take it easy. Have a good time and enjoy life myself. Well, little this guy knew at this point, who intervened? God intervened. And God wasn't very happy about it. As a matter of fact, he was very angry. So he said to this guy, you fool, this very night, tonight, I'm going to take your life away and gave all this wealth to somebody else. Why did God get angry? David. Why he got angry? Okay, let's I'm not picking on David. I thought you knew, but let's look at verse 21. God said, not only this is how it will be with this rich man, because he only stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. See, his life is rich towards himself, but poor towards God. And he only stores his treasure on this earth. He has nothing stored up in heaven. His life is such a waste. His existence benefits no other than himself. So what a waste. God said, I'm going to kill you. You don't have to stay here. Well, is this the end of this story? For this one, yes. But the story continues in the second story here, which is in Luke chapter 16, after his death. Where did he end up with? He ended up in hell. And there was fire burning under him. So he felt very thirsty. Then he begged to Abraham. He said, my father Abraham, please send Lazarus, the poor beggar, and have him dip his finger, the tip of his finger with water, and then cool my tongue, because I felt hot and thirsty. When I prepared this message, you know, this picture just stuck in my head. Because in hell, you know, this stays forever. The fire was burning forever. And it's eternal. There's no ending of this. And he kept feeling thirsty all the time. So he kept begging. So this is happening forever. I said, this is terrible. I don't want to be in that position. Well, from these two stories, I think there are lessons for us to learn as Christians. And so I would like to share with you some of the thoughts I have based on these two stories. The first lesson we can learn, life is too short to be wasted. See, we only have one life on this earth. And this life is created by God. And it's created in His image and likeness. So how many days do we have? Well, I know we have, like, according to Moses, we have 70, 80 years of lifespan. If you convert that to days, how many days do we have? Say if you can live like 100 years, right? That's kind of stretch, but we may be able to do it. How many days? 36,500 days. 70% of that will be close to 24,000 days, and 80% of that will be 26,000 days. Not many days. It's short. That's why the Bible, if you look at the book of James, use a metaphor to describe our life. It says our life is like a mist. It shows up briefly in the morning, sun comes up, vanishes. In Psalms 90, Moses describes our life using another metaphor. He says our life is like grass. It springs up new in the morning, and the sun scorches it for the whole day, and at evening it withers and dies. Moses also pointed out our humble origin. He said, we are dust. We were created from the dust, from the earth. And in the end, we go back to where we came from. And he said, our death is like what? Like sleep. So he just, God just wiped us away like dust. Well, during these like 30,000 some days, if you count, a lot of the days we have are not happy ones. Suffering, job loss, disease, and a lot of uncertainties. It's very hard. Well, for this uncertain life, there is one thing certain. What is that? Death. Everybody dies. It's just a matter of time. Statistically, this is the truth. 100%. You can never be wrong. Well, we die differently. Some people die at a very young age. Some people die when they are very old. Some people die of disease. And some people die rich. Some people die poor. No one here can choose their birth or their family. Not many people can choose their death. But God has grace on us. By His grace, we can choose how we live. And how we live, how we decide to live, actually determines how we are going to die. And how we're going to live decides how we're going to live our after-death life. I heard a story about a famous atheist. He didn't believe in God. So when he died, he tried to beg the doctor and the nurse, you know, I don't want to die, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Which is ironic, because if you are atheist, you know, once you die, nothing happens, right? That's the end of it. But he's scared. I hope, as a Christian, when we die in peace, in hope, even in joy. Prepare us well to die. Because if you are true Christian, if you truly believe in God, and you live the way the Bible teaches you to live, nothing will hold us back. You probably will say, wow, it's time to go to sleep. Time to go home. I have fought a good fight, I have run a good race. There's nothing left for me. I hear the calling, and then I go. Just like Paul said. To live is Christ. To die is what? To die is gain. So for the non-believers, dying is definitely a loss. But if you are a true Christian, if you are God's children, to die is gain. That's amazing. That's amazing life. Well, lesson number two we can learn from the stories. Material possession doesn't make us rich or happy. Well, people have this misconception. If I have $1 million in my bank, I will be rich. Which is not true. According to the Bible, being rich has nothing to do with how much material wealth you have, how much money you have. In God's eyes, our wealth, our richness, is judged by how much we gave, not by how much we have. I will give you an example. In Luke chapter 21, it recorded a story of a poor widow, and she gave offerings at the temple. How much she gave? Two small copper coins. So is she rich or is she poor? Okay, but in God's eyes, is she rich or poor? See, until somebody gave, he's dirt poor. Even a millionaire, he always be in need. He wants more and more and more. He's poor. He's a poor millionaire. We also have this misconception, well, if I have $100 million, I would be very happy. But there are certain things in our life money cannot buy. Our salvation cannot be bought. Happiness cannot be bought. Health cannot be bought. Love cannot be bought. When God created us, He put eternity inside us. It's like a black hole. Our soul is in thirst, is hungry for eternity, for to be with God. Nothing else will satisfy our soul except for Christ and God Himself. You can stuff yourself with all kinds of material wealth. Nice cars, bigger houses, good job, good family, good career, a lot of money. No, it just doesn't work. Because all these material things, they have limits. They have shapes, they have their life expectancy of their own. All these material things, they have shapes, they have limits. Only the unlimited, all-powerful God can satisfy our soul. Just like the song Brother Gary led us, "It is well with my soul because God Christ is with me." You see, I see these people, they spend so much time watching TV, playing video games, they drive across the country to follow their football teams, basketball teams. For what? It's just not going to solve their most basic problem. The satisfaction of their soul, not their body. The third lesson we can learn as Christians, we should be humble and we should not boast. Well, we humans by nature are very evil. We love ourselves, we like ourselves, and we tend to boast when we accomplish something. And we think we can do everything on our own. Just like this rich man did. When he got money, and he started thinking, maybe I can do it. Maybe I can handle everything myself. In James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, it says to this group of people, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, we will stay there for a year, and we will make a profit through business." James gave them the warning. "Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow." And Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." So all boasting is evil, according to James. If you think about it, everything we have, some of you are very smart, some of you are very talented, and a lot of us actually have successful careers. We take care of our family, we have a happy family, and we can count the blessings. But they are truly blessings, and they are all from God, and there is nothing to brag about. Our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, He has all the power and glory in heaven with the Father, but He actually humbled Himself, took the very nature of a servant, became a man, and became just humbled Himself and became obedient to His death. And He didn't boast or brag. Even after the salvation is completed. Lesson number 4. Life is created by God. Enjoy your life, but with gratitude and thanksgiving. We Christians are also ordinary people. We just do things other people do. We eat, we drink, we work. We have a career, we have our jobs, family. And we retire later on in our life. So we also enjoy these things. That's why the Bible says a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. But there's a difference for Christians. These things, they are not the source of our joy and happiness. If these things become our joy and happiness, what will happen? Our happiness will become temporary. It doesn't bring us true joy. It will enslave us instead. See, unless we anchor our life to Christ, we will never find everlasting, secure joy. The last lesson I think we can learn from these two stories is be a cheerful giver and do good deeds. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than receive. A person who gives is a much happier person. I don't know, have you watched the Christmas Carol movie? The 3D one? Scrooge is a good example. See, if we just want to accumulate wealth for our own benefit, for our own use, we'll never be happy. Those happy people, if you look around you, are the people who gave, who share. See, if we ourselves are happy, most likely the people around us will not be happy. Unless the people around us are happy, then we are happy. That's why God loves the cheerful giver. And God Himself is the ultimate giver. And He Himself is the ultimate joy and salvation. An interesting question would be, can we just give, keep giving? We'll become poor, right? Ourselves. Here's what the Bible says. God loves the cheerful giver, and He will make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And this is God's word, and He's faithful. And we will never become poor by becoming a person willing to give and share God's love. Even though our wealth on this earth might diminish, but our treasure in heaven starts piling up. How many of you have read the book by John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life? Okay. It gave one interesting example about a couple who took early retirement. I think the wife retired at age of 50, and the husband retired at the age of 55. Okay. So how they spend their retirement life? They bought a boat, and so they sailed to the Carolinas, the beach. So every day, you know, they watch the sunrise and the sunset by the beach, and in between, they will collect shells. So John Piper actually asked an interesting question in his book. So what are they going to do when they see the Lord face to face? So are they going to show up with two baskets of empty shells? So what are we going to show the Lord when we see Him face to face? Maybe not with shells, but with our empty hands. So finally, I would like to share with you Psalms 90:12-17. To conclude my message. It says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you afflicted us, for as many years we have seen trouble. May your deed be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us bow our head and pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to you because you are our Heavenly Abba Father and you love us. Not only you created us, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood on the cross to save us from our wickedness so we become righteous in light of the cross, so that we can get reconciled to the Father through Christ, your Son. Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us because we are dust. We are not worthy. Become our source of joy. Satisfy our soul. Make us glad during our days, even in times of affliction and the sorrow and the loss and the trouble. You become our source of joy. We can lean upon you to rest. More importantly, show us who you are. Reveal your glory to us so that we can obey you and do your will. Become our rock and strength. Strengthen the work we do in Christ. Strengthen the work of our hands. We give all the glory to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.